This is VOA News. We have a vote. I'm Marissa Melton. Hackers have broken into U.S. federal agency networks, according to government officials on Sunday. The Treasury Department and Commerce Department were both breached. Now U.S. officials are trying to determine how big this cyber attack is and how the problem can be fixed. The FBI and Homeland Security Department are both investigating. The hacks were revealed just days after a major cybersecurity firm disclosed that foreign government hackers had broken into its network and stolen the company's own hacking tools. Many experts suspect Russia is responsible for the attacks. Supercooled shipments of a newly approved coronavirus vaccine rolled out of a Pfizer manufacturing facility at Kalamazoo, Michigan on Sunday for rapid air freight distribution to regional hubs across the United States. Inoculations against the virus that causes the deadly COVID-19 disease will begin very expeditiously, hopefully Monday, according to Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. He spoke to CNN on Sunday. More than 184,000 vials were on the first trucks leaving the Pfizer vaccine production facility. Healthcare workers and elderly people in long-term care facilities will be the first in line to receive the initial 2.9 million doses at a time when the number of cases in the United States is surging. Senior government officials, including some White House staff, will also have access to the first round of vaccines and may be inoculated as early as this week. Italy has surpassed Britain to become the nation in Europe with the highest death toll from the coronavirus. Italy is also where the continent's pandemic began. Sunday, the nation registered 484 COVID-19 deaths in one day. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. Parents converged on a secondary school in Nigeria's northwestern Katsina state on Sunday, begging authorities to save hundreds of boys abducted by gunmen. The army had exchanged fire with a gang that took the students from the all-boys government science school in Kankara. A spokesman for the president said on Saturday night, the parents on Sunday said they had heard little more on the fate of their children. The president's office declined to comment, referring queries to the police. Military and police did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Attacks by armed gangs, widely referred to as bandits, are common throughout northwestern Nigeria. The groups typically attack civilians, stealing or kidnapping them for ransom. Security forces in Belarus have detained dozens of people as opposition demonstrators stage scattered marches and rallies in Minsk and other cities to pressure strongman leader Alexander Lukashenko to make political concessions. Human rights group Vyazna said that nearly 180 people were detained during the protest on December 13th. Most of those arrests reported in Minsk. According to a local news outlet, more than 120 marches took place across the country. Numbers at each rally ranged from a few dozen, to several hundred. Several protesters marched in outlying residential areas of Minsk, waving white and red flags, a symbol of the opposition. Some chanted, "Long live Belarus." The demonstrations came as exiled opposition leader Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya was scheduled to appear at events in Germany as part of her efforts to rally international support for Belarus's beleaguered opposition. The country's been roiled by unprecedented political opposition since early August, when Lukashenko was declared victor of a presidential election that opposition leaders said was rigged. The prime minister of the African Kingdom of Eswatini died Sunday in a South African hospital. The Eswatini government announced Prime Minister Ambrose Dlamini's death Sunday without specifying the cause. Dlamini, prime minister of the continent's last absolute monarchy, was 52 years old. Eswatini was formerly known as Swaziland. A court in Iran has handed a 9-year jail sentence to British-Iranian anthropologist Kamil Ahmadi after convicting him of conducting subversive research work. That's according to the semi-official news agency Tasnim. On Sunday, Ahmadi was also fined $727,000. That's the amount Iranian authorities said he received for his research from institutions that are accused of seeking to topple Iran's Islamic government. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. This is VOA News.